last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the sixth para was recited. The sixth para is a completion of Surah An-Nisa, and thereafter a portion of Surah Al-Ma'idah till the end of the para was recited. The first verse of the sixth para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important principle for the reformation and for the betterment of society. Allah ta'ala says, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the open expression of evil talk unless the person has been oppressed, he is a victim of some type of injustice. By Allah ta'ala mentioning that Allah does not like, it is actually a prohibition. Allah ta'ala prohibits us from expressing evil talk and mentioning it openly without a valid reason. This includes all types of verbal sins, which include backbiting, slander, fault finding and also carrying of tales. These types of evils are such which causes great problems in society. It gives rise to rumor mongering, suspicion, and evil thoughts of others, etc. And this is very detrimental for the sound and harmonious condition of society at large. So, to say such things, evil talks, to express it openly, Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from that. However, there is an exception, illa man bulim, unless the person has become a victim of some type of injustice, and he seeks to, and he wants to get recourse and redress, and he wants to now seek justice so he can go to a court of law or a person in authority so that he can seek justice, and for that he has to express the evil which had been committed over him. The benefit of that is that other people can remain safeguarded from the evil and of the oppressor, and the oppressor himself might get restrained because he knows that people have come to know of my evil, and with the result he will stop his oppression. However, in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the better option is that the person now overlooks and he forgives. To conceal the faults of others and to overlook and forgive the faults of others is something which is commendable, and as Allah ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran and Majeed, that person with whom you have enmity, By overlooking and forgiving, that same person will become your bosom friend. So Allah Ta'ala exhorts us in the next ayat, إِن تُبْدُوا خَيْرًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ, that if you have to do a good openly or secretly, or you forgive an evil, then Allah Ta'ala also is most forgiving, and Allah Ta'ala is all-powerful. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also a very important point. The evil of it is prevalent up till today, and people are actually propagating such an ideology, and it was mentioned also previously that as long as the people of the scriptures, they believe in the scriptures and they believe in Allah and in the year after, that is sufficient for their salvation, and there is no need for them now to even believe upon all the Anbiya alayhi musallam. Therefore, if the Jews and the Christians don't believe in the Risalat and Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it doesn't matter and they will get salvation. This is a completely wrong ideology, and clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in this verse. Allah ta'ala says, those who disbelieve in Allah ta'ala and the Anbiya alayhi musallam, and they wish to create a distinction between Allah ta'ala and his Anbiya alayhi musallam, وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ, and they say that we believe in some and we disbelieve in others, and they seek to, and they want to get seek a path in between that. Allah Ta'ala clearly declares, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. These people are most definitely, they are disbelievers. And Allah Ta'ala says, we have prepared for the disbelievers a very humiliating and disgraceful punishment. So those who advocate this ideology of interfaith, and that all religions, they are true and they will get salvation, is completely wrong. However, the people of the time of the respective Anbiya alayhi musalam, in that time when they believe in their Nabi and in Allah Ta'ala, they will definitely get salvation. But upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's nabuwat, anyone who refuses to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is definitely, Allah Ta'ala calls him, he is definitely a disbeliever, and for him there will be eternal punishment. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in some detail the malpractices and transgressions of particularly the Jews, although Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that they are the Ahl Kitab. Some Jews, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they made this absurd and most audacious type of demand that we will only believe in you if a Kitab is revealed from the skies, which we can see and hold and feel as was revealed upon Musa alayhi salam. The Torah was revealed, but the revelation of the Torah is different to the revelation of the Quran Majid in the sense that the Torah was revealed in a book form all at once to Musa alayhi salam. Whereas the Quran Majid was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via Jibreel alayhi salam onto the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over a period of 23 years. So they demanded that we will only believe in you if a kitab is revealed from the skies all at once, which we can see and feel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that don't take great offense in such absurd and such audacious demands of these Jews, because they had made even more audacious demands from their respective Anbiya alayhi salam. The Jews had demanded from Musa alayhi salam and told him that we won't believe in you till you don't show us Allah Ta'ala completely right in front of our eyes. Then only we are prepared to believe in you as the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had made such a demand from Musa alayhi salam also. So this is nothing new. This is a trend and malpractice of the Jews from the time before. Allah Ta'ala says those who did so, they were afflicted with a thunderbolt. And as mentioned in the narrations, that 70,000 of the Jews were killed all at once. Further, Allah Ta'ala mentions even more of the evils, that they had stooped to the lowest levels, and they had even made a calf, the child, the offspring of a cow, they had made it an object of worship. And further on, Allah Ta'ala says that they are such people that they demanded from Musa alayhi salam that we want a divine code of law from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent down the Torah, but when the Torah was revealed and they seen the injunctions contained therein, the Jews, they started saying that no, they are very difficult laws and we are not able to practice upon them, and therefore we don't accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mount of Tur to be suspended over their heads, and they were told that say that you obey or else we will crush you and mesh you with the mountain falling over your heads. And then meekly then they said that okay, we have now become obedient. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions that they are such people that when they were told to enter the city in a prostrating, in a bowing down position, they defied the law of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and they dragged themselves on their buttocks and entered that city and made a mockery of the order of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told that these people are like this. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says that we even told them that don't cross the limits with regards to the Sabbath, the Saturday, or the honor and sanctity of the day of Saturday, but they also transgressed the limits in that regard also. And their condition also is also of that they had killed many Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. And when they are told to obey and become obedient to the message of their Nabi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ, that our hearts are in veils. We don't understand what you are saying. So this is the condition of the of these people, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who have did all these things. So don't become so grieved when they make such absurd demands from you. Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says that we had placed a seal over their hearts of kufr, and very few of them have brought iman, like Abdullah ibn Salam radiyallahu anhu. Whereas the vast majority of them, Allah Ta'ala says, we have placed a seal over them of kufr. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention again of the Jews, that they are also such people who claim that they had killed Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. The incident was mentioned previously in the third para. Allah ta'ala here emphatically mentions they did not kill Isa alayhi salam, nor did they crucify him. Instead, they were put into a type of doubt. And as mentioned earlier, that one of them, his physical features was transformed into the features of Isa alayhi salam, and thinking he was Isa alayhi salam, they killed their own man. In this way, they were put into a great type of doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but clearly mentions, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Isa alayhi salam was lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the heavens bodily. It is our aqidah. He is alive, present up till today, and prior to Qiyamah, he will then be sent down to the earth again. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions more of the evils and transgressions of the Jews, and then the discussion carries on concerning the Christians, that they also made excesses in their deen, and they raised Isa alayhi salam above his actual pedestal and position which Allah Ta'ala had granted him, and they raised him up to the level of Ilah, where they started worshipping Isa alayhi salam and granted him the position of divinity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells Nabi tells them, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Don't say there are three gods, referring to their absurd aqidah and doctrine of Trinity, that three gods are one, and one is three. Up till today, they are still in that same confusion. Allah Ta'ala says, don't say that. Intahu, desist, and stop yourself from making such claims. Khayran lakum. This will be better for you. Innama Allahu ilahu wahid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely only one ilah, only one who can be worshipped. There is no partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. Further, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that Isa alayhi salam himself is not ashamed or regarded to be below his dignity, to be the abd of Allah Ta'ala, to be the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the close angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't feel ashamed to be the abd and ibad and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't feel ashamed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not proud in any way. So, where are you claiming that he is the son of Allah Ta'ala, or he is Ilah himself? What type of absurd claims you are making? Allah Ta'ala in these verses completely rejects their notion and their doctrine of Trinity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proves that Isa alayhi salam was not in any way on the pedestal of divinity. He was the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on then, the surah then concludes again with the subject matter which was mentioned in the beginning of the surah concerning some laws of inheritance. The next surah is Suratul Ma'idah. Suratul Ma'idah is also a Madani surah which was revealed in the latter part of Nabuwat, and many injunctions and laws are mentioned here in Suratul Ma'idah. Allah Ta'ala commences the surah with giving the order, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqud, that O believers, fulfill your pledges, fulfill your pledges and promises and contracts. The ulama explain that there are three types of uqud, three types of pledges which a person makes. One is between himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment we recite the kalima, we are actually making a pledge of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepting the oneness of Allah ta'ala, and also accepting the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first pledge. The second one is which a person makes to himself, that which we call a vow, a commitment which a person makes to himself, which, if it is not in any way contrary to any law of Sharia, he has to fulfill it. And the third is that which people do amongst themselves, all types of monetary transactions, all types of contracts, whether it's concerning some financial contract or leasing or wages, employment, all these things also fall into this category. As long as there is nothing which is contrary to any injunction of Sharia, we are ordered that we have to fulfill those pledges and contracts. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning those, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of a very important principle also, which also is with regards to mutual cooperation, which will result in the betterment and progress of society. Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and help and assist one another in acts of piety and taqwa, and don't assist and help one another on sin and on on oppression and transgression. So if there is this type of cooperation amongst the members of society, inshallah that society will be on a sound footing, and it will be peaceful and harmonious. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then mentions concerning many rules and regulations concerning which animals have been declared as haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter some laws concerning hunting, that in those days hunting was through hunting dogs and also birds of prey, and when is the hunting through these types or these types of animals, when is it permissible to eat from the prey which they catch, and when will it be not permissible? All those rules and regulations have been mentioned here. After that, Allah Ta'ala then again mentions the order of making wudu before performing salat, and in the absence of water, the permissibility of making tayammum, which was also mentioned previously in the previous surah, the laws concerning tayammum, for whom it is permissible, is also mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala then gives the order that when it comes to testimony and giving and standing as witness, Allah Ta'ala says, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ, that make sure that you remain upright for according to the command of Allah Ta'ala as witnesses to justice, even though it might be to the detriment of oneself or for the detriment of one's relatives, etc. But never waver away from the path of justice. اِعْدِلُوا, be just in whatever you do, whatever testimony you give, make sure that it is based on justice. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention of the Bani Israel, that Allah ta'ala had taken a pledge from the Bani Israel that whatever, whenever the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come, each one will have to now believe and bring iman upon him to be the last Nabi. But we all know that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although they were in great anticipation that the last Nabi must be born from among them, but through Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born amongst the Arabs, which was from the Banu Ismail, not from the Banu Israel. For that they became jealous and refused to accept the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of their jealousy and hasad, and up till today they still refuse to accept it, whereas in their own scriptures mention is made of the coming of the last Nabi with some detail, but yet they changed the words of the Torah and the Injil, and they conceal those types of verses which are now presently in the translated versions of the Torah and the Injil. They are hardly found, although many ulama have now taken out certain passages, even from the present day, changed versions of the Torah and the Injil, which indicate to the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last Nabi. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions again the very the evil of the Bani Israel when they were told to go and fight in the Ard Muqaddas, the blessed city, and you will easily overcome those who are there. But they refused, and they audaciously told Musa alayhi salam اذهب انت وربك فقاتلا. You and your Rabb go and fight. إنا هاهنا قاعدون. We are just sitting here. We are not moving from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, Allah ta'ala deprived them of conquering the blessed city for 40 years. And for 40 years they remained wandering in a valley which is called the Valley of Tea. And this was actually the consequence of their evil, that they told Musa alayhi salam that you and your Rabb go and fight, we are not going at all. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident, the first murder which took place on the surface of the earth, the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, and Qabil killed Habil, his brother, because of the jealousy which he had for his brother. The incident is quite lengthy, because of the jealousy he killed his brother, and it was the first murder, and since he initiated this evil trend, every murder which takes place on the surface of the earth, up till the day of Qiyamah, the sin of it will also fall on Qabil, who killed his brother Habil. The reason, perhaps, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this incident here, referring to this to the reason of jealousy, which was the cause for this murder to take place. And the Jews, they also refused to accept the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of their jealousy, which indicates that jealousy is such an evil condition that it stops people from accepting what is also the haqq. Concerning the Jews elsewhere, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Majid mentions, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last Nabi, just as people recognize their own children and their sons. Nobody mistakes their own son for somebody else. Just like that, they recognized Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they refused to acknowledge that he is the last Nabi and refused to accept him as the final Nabi and bring Iman upon him. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some rules and regulations concerning hudud, the punishment for theft and stealing, and thereafter the punishment for highway robbery. The penal code of punishment, which is prescribed by the Shariat, although outwardly it might seem to be very harsh, that those who are caught and proven to steal, according to the conditions laid out in Shariat, the hands will be chopped off, etc. Many people, they have some reservations concerning this severe type of punishment, but in reality, wherever the hudud are implemented, definitely it serves as a deterrent for the rest of the people. Punish one or two and the rest of the people, then we will see that there is hardly any type of evil of that type committed in those lands where the hudud is actually enforced. Hardly today we find anywhere, even in the so-called Muslim countries, there is now no implementation of the hudud, the penal code of punishment which Shariat has prescribed. Wherever now it has been or was implemented, definitely, and even those who are the enemies of Islam, they also acknowledge that the levels of that crime completely drops in such places. But people don't understand, and because of their own evil ways, they refuse to now acknowledge the punishment which Shariat has prescribed for these types of punishments, for these types of crimes. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that those who turn away from deen, from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't think they are harming Islam or harming Allah ta'ala in any way. Allah ta'ala says, we will replace them with such a nation that Allah loves them and they love Allah ta'ala. They are kind and compassionate to the mu'mineen and they are stern against the kuffar, and they make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not afraid of any type of criticism and any type of rebuke of any people who criticize. So in this verse, Allah ta'ala makes it clear that don't think so that turning away from the deen of Allah ta'ala is going to harm Allah ta'ala or the deen of Allah ta'ala in any way. Before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions that don't befriend the Yahud and the Nasara. They are friends of one another and they will always be try to harm you. So the evil consequences of befriending the Yahud and Nasara is that ultimately it could lead to a person leaving the fold of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that they will not be able to harm the deen of Islam or Allah ta'ala in any way. Allah ta'ala will replace them with better people. Further on, Allah ta'ala then, again, some of the evils of the Jews particularly are mentioned, and all their malpractices, and the reason why all this is mentioned is to warn us as Muslims that we should not in any way do what they had done, or else we will be doomed, and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then overtake them. Further, Allah ta'ala then again mentions concerning the Christians that who claim that Isa alayhi salam was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says clearly, Mal Masih ibn Maryam illa Rasul. That Masih ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, was but a Rasul, and many Anbiya alayhi salam had passed by before him, and his mother was a truthful woman. Wa ummuhu siddiqa. And Allah ta'ala, in a very easy way for people to understand, said, how can you attribute divinity to Isa alayhi salam and his mother? Kana ya'kulani ta'am. They were such who eat food. And anyone who eats food is in need of food, and anyone who is in need of anything, how can he ever be on the pedestal of divinity, and how can he ever be regarded to be an ilah? And anyone who eats food, he has to relieve himself also. So what type of now, Isa alayhi salam was of this nature, yet he had to eat food, and natural consequences, he had to relieve himself also. How can you attribute divinity to him and say that he is the son of Allah ta'ala, or he is Allah ta'ala himself, na'udhu billah. The para then ends on the Allah ta'ala says that those who had made kufr and were and got involved in disbelief amongst the Bani Israel, they were cursed on the tongues of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam himself. This was because they were disobedient and they had transgressed the limits. And another reason is kanu la yatanahuna am munkarin fa'alu. And it was because they did not stop the evil which was being perpetrated amongst them, which indicates to the importance of Nahi anil Munkar, that because of that also it was one of the reasons why the Bani Israel were cursed cursed on the tongues of Dawood alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. The para then ends that the people of most enmity to the mu'mineen are the Jews and the mushrikeen. In contrast to them, those who are the Nasara, they are more closer to the mu'mineen in affection. This does not mean that the Nasara, the Christians, should be befriended in any way. No, this refers, many Mufassirin explain, to the Nasara of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were residing in Habsha, in Ethiopia, where in the mu'mineen, initially when they were being persecuted in Makkatul Mukarrama, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the command to migrate towards Abyssinia, although they were not mu'mineen, they did not bring iman as yet, but they were the Nasara and who gave refuge to the Muslims who came at that time. Those Nasara are being mentioned. Not the Nasara of today, where in reality most of them are atheists. They are not even Nasara in the true sense. But they too are just as hostile to the mu'mineen as the Jews are of today. So reference here is made of the Nasara of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that compared to the Jews and the mushrikeen, they are much closer in affection to the mu'mineen. And the reason for that is that amongst them they are the monks and their leaders, and wa annahum la yastakbirun, and they are not proud. In contrast to the Yahud, they are such who are proud, and because of their pride and arrogance, they refuse to accept the message of Deen of Islam, and they are completely hostile to the mu'mineen because of that, and that hostility remains up till this day, for which they have been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are in a condition of disgrace and humiliation. Outwardly, they might seem to be of a source of power in today, but really we all know they are just being propped up by the powerful, the so-called powerful nations of today. Without them, that their state and their existence will completely cease in a moment if these powerful nations refuse to now help them in any way. Anyway, that is now, by the way, the main point here is that the Christians of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are less in hostility to the mu'mineen compared to the Jews and the mushrikeen.